Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Thursday morning MV Pro Call. Today is June 20th, and I'd like to welcome those of you that are here live, as well as those of you listening to this via recording, which, of course, you can do by subscribing to MotorVitality.com or MotorVitality on whatever podcast application you happen to use, or by visiting MotorVitality.com, where you can listen to years and years and years worth of archives. You know, I say that every single day or every single Thursday that we do the call, and you'd think that I would get it right as many times as I say it. So basically, go to the podcast application. And by the way, if you use a certain podcast application and you can't find it on there for some reason, let me know, because it probably means one of my settings are incorrect. We recently went to a different program that more easily allowed me to put this up on you know, Spotify and iHeartRadio and all the, I don't know, God, there's so many different podcast places that you can get them. I know that YouTube Music, it's definitely there. Amazon Prime is definitely there. iHeartRadio, I've checked several of them. So if you listen to one and you can't find it, please reach out to me and let me know so I can go in and check my settings and make sure that it's on the platform that you prefer. A couple announcements. I mentioned last week, and though I did not remember the dates, that we would not have a call on one of the weeks in July, but actually it's 2 weeks in July, because as it turns out, July 4th falls on a Thursday, and so there will be no call, obviously, on July 4th. And the following week, I will be in Alaska, so Thursday, July 11th. So there will be no call on for 2 weeks in a row, July 4th and July 11th. We will send out a notice on that on both accounts. We'll send out emails on that. So we will see, you know, we'll obviously have a call next week. But after that, we're going to take a couple weeks off in July.
Excuse me for interrupting, but I believe it's July 18th as well.
You know what, Michelle? We're taking 3 weeks off. You are correct. You know what, then? I think that we could probably still do the call on... Okay, I'm incorrect. We can still do the call on July 11th, then. It is July 18th that we'll... So we'll do... Or should we just take 3 weeks off? Let's just take 3 weeks off. Let's give everybody a July vacation break. I know, that's for me, too, because we'll be in Seattle. I'll be in Seattle on the 11th. So, we'll put out there, we are going to take 3 weeks off. We'll make a note of that. So the bulk of July, will be no MV Pro call. So we'll have plenty to talk about when we come back, I guess. But that was a fun announcement. Boy, I love how organized I am when I do these very professional. This is the Moto Vitality professional conference call, by the way. I mean, MV Pro call, that's what we call it. Yay, organized and prepared. So thank you, Michelle. I appreciate that. So 3 weeks in July, the 4th, 11th, and 18th, there will be no calls, and we will send out an email to that effect. All right, and then hopefully we'll see everybody back on the 25th of July. But in the meantime, let's start the call off the way I do pretty much every week, which is by asking, is there anything anybody learned this last week that you wish you had known before? Anything that is worthy of sharing with other professionals across the country, or anything we can help you with? Any questions we can answer for you?
Hey, Scott in Alabama.
Hey, Scott in Alabama.
So I've got, certain competitors, which will remain nameless, that just love me to death. And here in the state of Alabama, we usually run, I don't know, anywhere between 2 and 3 parts per million of chlorine. And when recommending a water softener, always recommend like having carbon filtration on the front end, because chlorine being an oxidizer will break down the resin in a water softener faster. But I had a customer getting multiple quotes And he called me and said that one of my competitors had told him that he does not need carbon filtration on the front end because the city already filters it already. He just needs a water softener. The city filters the water. He doesn't need a filter on the front end. So it is accurate that chlorine will break down the resin in a water softener, correct?
Okay, so great question. And I would say in most cases, yes. First off, I would say your competitor is likely wrong that yes, the city filters it, but they're not taking the chlorine out at the point of use. I mean, chlorine is, in fact, by law, you have to have a certain residual by the time it gets to the house. And often along a distribution line, you'll actually have chlorine injection sites to make sure that you have the residual. Chlorine has to be monitored pretty regularly. That level of chlorine, 100%, will degrade most resin. However, there are, when you start getting into resins, and I'm certainly not a resin expert. We can have a resin expert come on. We used to. We had Frank DeSilva from ResinTech come on one time and talk to us about the different resins, and it was really fascinating, if not really, really detailed and complicated. But the higher the cross-link resin, so there are some companies out there that, as a standard, do put 10% cross-link resin in their softeners. And the higher the cross-link, the stronger the bond in the resin. And so it is a lot less susceptible to chlorine damage or oxidizers in the water. So if this competitor, Scott, is using a 10% cross-link in their media or in their tanks, it's possible that they found that you don't get as much resin degradation from it. I will tell you, there's somebody else, another company, and again, we don't talk company, we don't talk products on this call. But there's another company who just recently introduced a ceramic media, and I know this because I've got it installed in my training facility here. They asked me to test it for them, so it's installed and running, and I'm kind of testing it. And apparently, it also does not need any carbon filtration in front of it. So, with chlorine. So in those two circumstances, I wouldn't definitively say that chlorine is going to destroy the media, but in general, the vast majority of the people out there have an 8% cross-link. That's pretty standard for the resin type in their tanks. And in those instances, if you get 2 to 3 parts per million of chlorine in the water, 100%, I would recommend carbon filtration to reduce that chlorine. Anybody want to add anything to that? Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, if I can, if I may. So my understanding, as Kelly said, same for me, I'm not a resin expert, but my understanding is that the general rule of thumb is the threshold is 1 part per million. If it's at or above 1 part per million of chlorine, you want to consider pulling the chlorine out before it hits the resin. And you said, Scott, it's 3.5 is what you're getting at this place, this location?
Typically, in the state, anywhere between 2 and 3 parts per million is what we see.
Okay, because it would depend, because it could vary tremendously depending on where you are in the distribution system.
Yeah, exactly.
And at his site, if it's a lot lower, that'd be less of an issue. And I agree with Kelly that as the cross-linking goes up, think of it like girders, steel girders inside a building that make it stronger. There is a trade-off. There's a downside to the increase in cross-linking. I think it generally costs more, and it may slow down the kinetics of the reaction time for the ion exchange process, but it makes it stronger physically. But as Kelly said, I would be in the camp of, there's no question it will destroy the resin. The only question is how long it takes. It isn't that it's immune from it. The higher cross-linking does not stop it from happening. But Kelly, the stuff you just mentioned, is that an ion exchange resin, or is it a different product?
Yeah, so I don't know that much about it yet. Somebody, a colleague of mine and a partner that we have, apparently they introduced this proprietary media I actually installed it in the training facility last week and am running water through it and testing it. And it has a brine tank. We added salt. Everything is, you know, as you know, Paul, we're on city water here coming in, so we're testing that to see what the functionality
of it is. That reminds me, Kelly. There is another product out there that I first saw, years ago, when they started coming out with the sanitizer-type systems where they take an electrical charge as you're drawing the brine through and convert
and
some of the
actually
chloride
to
chlorine.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But there's a product they use which is not impacted by the chlorine and will ion exchange. It's a silica gel-type product. And
Is that zeolite?
Yeah, I think it's a zeolite, yeah. My understanding
is
that is unaffected by the chlorine, but it's not ion exchange resin. It's a different product. But if your competitor is saying what it sounds like he's saying, it sounds like he's confused, he's misinformed, basically.
And that happens a lot in this industry, right, where somebody I wouldn't say that it's malicious, and that's one of the things, you know, I wouldn't jump to the conclusion that it's malicious. There are times, lots of times, I've been guilty of it myself, where you go to a class or you hear something and what comes out of it is, you know, what you remember is only partially true. You know, there's a lot of if-then statements in this industry on the way things work, right? So if these circumstances are this, then this will or will not work. And if you misinterpret or misunderstand or leave out the if part or the then part, then it doesn't make the statement true, right? So as Paul's saying, it really is, and I know this has happened to me many, many, many times in this, you know, as I've learned, some of it can get kind of complicated. We're talking you know, chemistry and bonds and pH. I mean, there's so much to it when you start delving in that Scott, I don't know that I would just jump to the conclusion that this competitor is malicious or just telling people what they want to hear. It could be a variation of all of these things or he may have a circumstance that, you know, that is making it true. You know, it warrants a little. The first place I would, if you know what product they carry, I mean, we've talked about this in the past, read the owner's manuals of your competitors and know your owner's manuals. And it's pretty easy because if their unit is susceptible to chlorine, I guarantee the owner's manual that's going to be on a free PDF that you can download off the internet these days is going to give the parameters of, you know, how much chlorine you're allowed to have. And that's something you could easily show to your customer to show that, you know, hey, look, these claims are not accurate, you know. So anybody else want to add anything to that? I think great question, Scott. Thank you. Anybody else have any thoughts on that? Okay, last announcement, speaking of training facility, we do have three spots left for our premium course that begins the virtual part that includes eligibility for WQA certification. It does begin the last week of July. That's the virtual part. You get to come to Michigan in August, which is actually pretty awesome because the lake is here, and it's a great time to come to Michigan. If you're interested in anybody coming to that class, please let me know. And with that, does anybody else have anything before we jump into our topic? All right. The topic that I wanted to discuss today was, and this seems to have come up a lot recently. I'm not sure why. I'm also not sure why people call me. You know, so there have been in the last, I don't know, a couple months, two or three months, where there have been multiple people that I know or have worked with in the industry, salespeople, and a couple service techs that have reached out to me and said that they have left their position or they've left their job and you know, for various reasons, either they were asked to leave or they left on their own. And I always hate that. I mean, I want to just preface this topic and say that I look, anytime you have to change jobs, whether it's by your choice or even worse by the company's choice or something like that, that's impactful. I mean, that's hard. I've been in both positions. I've been asked to leave a position before, and it's hard, you know, especially when you have a family and you got to go home and talk to your spouse or whatever, and you know, figure out where you're going to go next. What are you going to do next? That's hard to handle. I will also tell you, from a management perspective, I've been on that side of it where I've had to ask people to leave, you know, I don't think that's ever an easy decision. It's really hard to do. And, you know, I certainly recognize that you're in a position to impact somebody's lives, you know, you have to be really sensitive of the fact that you have the power to completely disrupt their lives, you know, to change their lives in one way or the other. And doesn't mean that you don't do it, doesn't mean that it's not necessary sometimes, but it does mean that, you know, I do think it's worthy of really recognizing the impact that decision has on them. But what I wanted to talk about today and, you know, for a few minutes was, what do you say to those customers when that person doesn't work here anymore, right? So you get a call from, maybe you're in sales and you're out there making a sale, and they tell you, "Oh yeah, get that." So I don't. So this is a true story. There was recently an installer service technician that was let go from a company, and it was one of those situations where the customers loved the guy. Most of them really loved him. He was really good with the customers. He was a good service tech, but man, he was just toxic in the office and just a horrible attitude and really disrupted and cost the company a lot of money. And the owner had no choice but to let the service tech guy go. You know, it was just warning after warning after warning. And in fact, it was the fact that the customers did like him so much that he was forgiven so many times, you know, and given so many opportunities. But when you have that kind of toxicity in the office, it can sometimes disrupt everything. And so they had to let him go. And you know, and then you had salespeople out there, and they're dealing with you know, the customers. So whatever happened to, we'll call him, I don't know, Harry, okay? And so what happened to Harry? Harry was a man. We loved him. He was really good. Tell him I said hi. What do you, if you run into that circumstance where you, and there's several circumstances here, there's several instances where this could happen, but I, you know, what do you say to the customer when you have somebody that was asked to leave? Or what do you say to the customer if you had somebody really good who chose to go somewhere else? You know, as many of you know, I Motor Vitality had to deal with this. We had, you know, I don't mind saying it, Jen was with us for, you know, 15, 16 years and was, along with myself, was kind of the face of Motor Vitality for years and years and years, and found another opportunity that, you know, I think with an incredible company and left. You know, I'm asked that question all the time. So what happened to your cohort? What happened to Jen? You know, that type of thing. What do you say? How do you handle those circumstances? Jen, are you on by chance? You're still on sometimes. I don't want to talk about Jen in you know, in any way, give her the chance to kind of address that. Anyway, what do you guys say? I mean, tell me your thoughts. What are you, when you have the customers, what do you say to, you know, when you're out there faced with those circumstances, does the conversation ever come up? Have you guys stumped? There's silence. You just stare silently at the customer. until they just move on. Anybody have any ideas? All right, so you guys are waiting for me to give suggestions.
Yes.
Nobody wants to do it. Nobody wants to say anything. Actually, interestingly enough, my suggestion on it is kind of in line with the reaction that you guys are having here, which is less is more, right? So first off, keeping in mind that let's talk about the customer that really loved the service guy. And you know, he was toxic in the office and he really loved the service guy. The thing that you have to remember is that guy leaving, that tech leaving, had a much, or that maybe it was a salesperson who left, or maybe it was a manager or somebody. But remember that customer dealt with that service tech or that salesperson very rarely. And that person who is no longer at your company had a much bigger impact within your organization than they ever did out in the public. So that service tech that the customers loved dealt with hundreds of customers a year. But remember, the customers weren't dealing with that service tech. Maybe they liked that service tech and they requested that service tech. But I think in general, for in most situations, they didn't think about that service tech except when they needed a service call, except when he came out. Maybe he was a salt delivery guy, so they saw him once or twice a month for 2 or 3 minutes. So less is more, right? And the one thing you don't want to say is, oh, my God, we had to fire that guy. He was toxic in the office. He's no longer, he's so gone, and, man, are we happy. You definitely don't want to go there. You basically just say, yeah, boy, Harry was a great service tech. We miss the work that he did with the customers, but he found another opportunity. You know, he had to, he's no longer with us. He found had to find another opportunity. He found another opportunity and he's no longer with us. That's all they need to know. They don't need to know that he was fired. They don't need to know all the stories of why everybody hated him at the office. And I think in most circumstances, that's all, you know, the customers understand that people move from position to position, right? So, and even if they've been there a long time, you know, I think that people understand that there are people who want to better themselves, that want to move forward, you know. The one thing you don't want to do is talk about, you don't want to give any kind of negative, even if Harry was a complete jerk in the company. The last thing you want to do is bad talk Harry, because honestly, it kind of makes your company look bad. Now, what if you had those customers that everybody hated Harry, you know, then you can say, you know, they go, oh God, did you guys finally get rid of that jerk Harry? And said, well, Harry found another opportunity. You know, we parted ways in December. And that's all you need to say about it. You definitely do not want to be drawn into bashing Harry or talking about Harry. Now, what do you do in that circumstance where you've had a salesperson? Maybe you're having to take over all of the accounts, right? So maybe you're on a sales team, and one of the other salespeople left, and all their contacts and the people that they were working with and dealing with had their cell phone number, and you've been asked by the company now to answer all the calls from that person. They call up and they say, "Hey, is this Mark?" You know, and you say, "Nope, this is I don't know. I'm trying to Steve." Okay, and Mark, you know, I've been asked to answer Mark's calls. Mark found another opportunity, and so I'm the territory manager for the area now, and have been asked to take over the calls. I think in most cases, sometimes we go, "Oh man, I really loved Mark." Yeah, we were sad to see him go. It was, you know, sometimes people find other opportunities, you know, and then you just move on. Less is more is the bottom line, right? I think the biggest takeaway, the biggest thing that I think that you guys should take away is that your customers don't need a long drawn out story of why Mark is no longer there or why Harry was let go. You address it, you acknowledge it, you show empathy, right, to what the customers want, but they didn't call Mark. They called Mark Sell because Mark handed his card out at the home show and they held on to it. But they don't know Mark. They're not best friends with Mark. They talked to Mark for 5 minutes at a home show one day and held on to his card because Mark was personable. But what they were really calling for was to get their water taken care of. And as long as you can do as good a job as Mark did or better, customers are going to be fine with that. I think they understand that people move from one place to another. Does that make sense? Any thoughts on this?
Hey, Kelly, can I mention something from the other perspective? So I was trying to make contact because, you know, I'm traveling up to Massachusetts. And part of the reason is because that's where we had our business. And now that I have no restraint on what I do, I'm going back up there to promote my consulting, the Get Water Answers. So I'm trying to reconnect with plumbers, real estate people, people at labs. And I had the occasion where I called a local lab that I knew the owner who had sold, but I knew his right-hand man, the two of them, since they started the business. So I call and I say, "Oh, it's Pete." So I talk to Pete, and the woman says, "Oh, Pete's not here anymore." And I said, "Oh," because he had been there forever. I said, "Well, geez, what happened?" And she didn't really give me any type of an answer. And I thought it left me with a feeling like she was sort of hiding something, or I don't know, but it didn't sit well. Like there was no peace of mind from that. You know what I mean? Like she didn't say, "Oh, he had another great opportunity at a lab," or he's tired, or, you know, and so to your point, it certainly would have sat better with me if she had said something that was maybe a little more positive, not just, he left and I don't know anything.
You can almost get a sense, and I think that's the key, because I do think that she fell short there, and it didn't leave you with a warm and fuzzy about the company, right?
In this case, I've known Pete for probably 30 years. Sure. Like that. So maybe that's a little different than some of these situations you're describing, but it didn't sit well.
Yeah, I think the key there is that she missed the empathy part, right? And I think that that's important when it comes to if you're going to end up making your company look bad more than you are that person. And there's the temptation, especially if there were a bitter departure, for that bitterness to come out. But you got to remember that a lot of times the customers, they don't know that person the same way that you knew them internally. And who knows what happened, you know, or why that person left or whatever. But it's not when customers call in, I think the empathy, the reaction there and the empathy and the short and sweet answer, but at least showing some empathy in some way, something positive about that person is the best way to go if you are looking to leave the customer who's asking about it with the best impression. I think your experience suggests that entirely. I think it highlights the importance of that. Any last thoughts on the last minute here, since you guys have been, you know, so participatory in this topic? So, which I understand. I appreciate it. I struggled a little bit with this one. Like, okay, what are we, how do we address it? And I did some Google research and looked at it and looked at some HR stuff, you know, and how you do it. And this is basically, this is what you do. Short and sweet with empathy, regardless of how the person left, regardless of what everybody thought of them internally. It's got to be short, sweet, but show some empathy and say something positive about them. Something, you know, it can be low and generic. That's the way you're going to address them and leave the best impression of your company. Any final thoughts? Any final thoughts here? All right. With that, thanks, everybody. I really do appreciate everybody hopping on. We will talk to you next week, if not before. Be safe, everybody. Stay cool. And we will talk to you then. So thanks, everybody.
Thanks, Kelly. Have a good
day. Thanks, Kelly.